This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host. I'm the one to answer your questions. And let me remind you to send your questions and any comments you may have to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Brr, it's February. It's cold, and I keep counting down the days till spring. And one of the things that keeps me busy and lets the time go faster is your questions. So thank you for sending them. So let me get started here. I've got an email from Carol. Carol writes, "Hello, Layla. What is your take on shirataki noodles? No carbs and no calories!" Exclamation point. Sounds great, but are they fine for pre-diabetics in particular and everyone else too? Thank you. Carol, thanks for your question. And by the way, are they great for pre-diabetics too? I should let it be known that many adults, as many as 50 million Americans, are walking around with either metabolic syndrome or pre-diabetes and they don't even know it. The good news is that it's all reversible with changes in diet, going on a lower carb diet. And by the way, as you already know, if you listen to this podcast regularly, type 2 diabetes is also completely reversible. Pre-diabetes and diabetes, these are lifestyle choices. So, shirataki noodles. So what are they? Shirataki noodles, they're also known as miracle noodles, konnyaku noodles, konjac noodles. It's an ingredient in Asian cuisine, typically made from the konjac plant, which is ground and then shaped into noodles or even rice, as well as fettuccine. And shirataki noodles are almost zero calories, zero carb. They're about 97% water, 3% fiber with traces of protein, just traces of protein, fat, and calcium. So those amounts are insignificant. They're about 4 calories and a gram of net carbs per 100 grams or 3.5 ounces of shirataki noodles. Because it's about 4 grams of carbs a serving minus about the 2 to 3 grams. So you're talking about a gram, 2 at the most grams of net carbs for serving these noodles. So great low carb product, right? Wonderful. If we find packaging that says 0 calories or 0 carbs, it's because the FDA allows this for products with less than 5 calories or less than a gram of carbs to be labeled as zero. It's the same rule, you know, that the FDA, I think, is kind of sneakily using. I think it's kind of sneaky on their part. Like with trans fats on a package of cookies, it can say 0 trans fats as long as a serving of those cookies contains, you know, 0.5 gram. Of trans fat or less. It's allowed to say it doesn't contain any, but it still contains some. I mean, you think about a package of cookies, and I know I'm digressing here, but I think this is important information. Who's eating just the serving of cookies? Who's eating just a cookie or maybe 2 cookies, which may be the standard serving size, depending on the cookies you're eating, right? Most people are eating half a sleeve of cookies. They're eating 6, 7, or 8 cookies. So you add that up with the trans fats, you may be getting 2 whole grams of trans fat. That's still an artery clogger. So anyway, these shirataki noodles, they're basically, what they're made of really is a yam-like tuber. It's called devil's tongue. And glucomannan starch is extracted from these tubers. Glucomannan is basically a soluble fiber. So the starch is extracted from these tubers, from devil's tongue. It's then mixed with water and mixed with lime water to turn it into a substance called konnyaku. That's why these are also called konnyaku noodles or called miracle noodles, so forth. And the konnyaku is then shredded into traditional shirataki noodles. Sometimes other ingredients are added into these packages of noodles, like soy, and you'll see them labeled tofu or with other flavors. So when they are seasoned this way or other ingredients are there, you want to make sure that you're checking your carb and fiber label, fiber on the nutrition facts label to make sure that you're not getting too many carbohydrates, depending on what they add in there. So they are vegan. They are gluten-free. The glucomannan starch, like I said, is an indigestible dietary fiber. It's like a soluble fiber. And where you can buy them? You can buy them both dry and soft, already cooked. The cooked shirataki noodles are easier to actually find. They're thin, translucent. They have a gelatinous texture. I know some people look at them and go, ew. And very much like tofu, these noodles are said not to have any real flavor, but they absorb the flavors that they're cooked with. And many of these products are usually sold in the refrigerator case with tofu at the grocery store. So they're becoming very popular. The prepared shirataki can be eaten as is, but the package will advise draining, rinsing, and even boiling them for a few minutes if you don't like any of the liquid that they're packaged in. So you want to be careful of preservatives and things. I've heard of people complain about they don't like the aroma because of the liquid in the packaging. Anyway, these can be a great alternative for those who love pasta, have a very hard time giving it up, but would be beneficial to them because they have diabetes or pre-diabetes or are overweight or need to lower their carbs for the myriad of other reasons that we all need to lower our carbs. They're a great alternative to rice noodles or to traditional semolina, spaghetti, and all of that. So the texture is also quite nice based on reviews. I have to tell you, Carol, I have not tried them myself. Dr. Hoffman has tried them. He's given them a test run, and he likes them very much. He does enjoy Asian cooking. He does a little bit of Asian cooking himself using sesame oil and other quality ingredients. So this kind of fits into his diet, and he enjoys them. So Carol, pick them up, especially with pre-diabetes. It's perfectly fine. So let's see, what else can I tell you about the shirataki? I told you already it's from the konjac yam, devil's tongue. It's also called elephant yam. These are the different names that it's called. And the word shirataki means white waterfall, which actually describes the appearance of these noodles. And again, they're mostly water and glucomannan. You want to kind of be careful a little bit when taking glucomannan, because it's a fiber, and if you eat enough of the stuff, even soluble fiber may be problematic. First of all, the good thing that soluble fiber does is it slows digestion, it slows the impact of any sugar in any food that you're eating, so it blunts the rise of glucose and subsequent insulin levels. So it's a great thing, especially for pre-diabetes and all of that. It keeps you fuller longer. But if you're eating large amounts of glucomannan and starch, whether it's in the form of these shirataki noodles or not, you want to be careful because, again, you've heard me say, and I finally figured out the movie that I heard it from, eating all this fiber is like eating rope and yanking it through. The movie was Frankie and Johnny with Al Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer. An old movie, Frankie and Johnny, a lovely romance story. And I believe it was one of the waitresses who was eating a bowl of bran cereal who says, it's like eating rope and yanking it through or something to that effect. You know, something stick with you. That particular line did. So, Carol, thank you for your question. Go try it out. You may want to drain them. If you're getting them seasoned, watch for ingredients and things. You don't want any bad ingredients or preservatives and things like MSG. You want to be careful of all of that. I've got another question here. I don't have a name, but this is something I was already going to talk about, so this is actually very timely. The person writes, can you review the Time Brady diet in detail? It seems to be working for him. Now, I know it's the end of the month now, and if you remember earlier in the month, the Super Bowl, the New England Patriots had a stunning win. They started to gain points, if you remember, by the third quarter. It wasn't, you know, early in the game. We really thought it would be the Atlanta Falcons, but they had a really, really stunning win. And there was an article that I read briefly that I printed up from the New York Post that I thought it was very interesting because it talks about Tom Brady's diet. So in late 2014, he explained his diet to Sports Illustrated. He's basically following a more alkaline diet, and he describes it as 80% alkaline and 20% acidic, which he says maintains balance and harmony through his metabolic system. Okay. The quarterback is actually, according to his chef, his personal chef, isn't that a great resource? Wouldn't we all love a personal chef? Tom Brady eats about 80% vegetables and whole grains, according to a chef, and 20% fish and lean meats, such as certain cuts of steak and duck. He doesn't touch sugar, white flour, or nightshade fruits and vegetables, which you know, you've heard me speak extensively about nightshades on this podcast. Tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, potatoes, tomatillos. Fat comes from extra virgin olive oil in Tom Brady's diet and coconut oil and cooked foods. These are all good sources of fats. And also on his list of banned ingredients are MSG, iodized salt, coffee, fungi, and dairy. And, pardon me, he only drinks alcohol occasionally. Terrific. And you know, Tom Brady's wife, the supermodel, Gisele Bündchen, she follows the same diet. The couple's kids, according to this Post article, they do a less strict version because, you know, you should never put small children on very strict diets. And anybody who's looking to feed their kids right, please go to EllenSatterInstitute.com or .org. Ellen Satter, E-L-L-Y-N, Satter, S-A-T-T-E-R, Institute. Google her, and that's how you'll learn to feed your kids without creating an eating disorder. So, getting back to Tom Brady, he also limits himself to the occasional banana, blended in a smoothie. Unbelievably, according to this article, he's never eaten a strawberry. And rather for a treat, he'll have cacao avocado ice cream. Yum! And according to a chef, everything that touches his table must also be organic. If it's not organic, I don't use it, says his chef. Terrific. We all want to eat organic, as much as our pocketbooks allow, of course. And Brady said to New York Magazine in September that he has to eat this way if he wants to keep playing because, quote, I don't believe you could be a 39-year-old quarterback in the NFL and eat cheeseburgers every day. I want to be able to do what I love to do for a long time. So, he's eating 80% alkaline, 20% acidic. I want to remind everyone, and I've talked about acid and alkalinizing foods and how our urine pH is completely different from our blood pH. Our blood pH is very, very strictly controlled. We are happily balanced at a healthy 7.4 pH, which is slightly alkaline, and our metabolisms will function elegantly to maintain this blood level of pH, or we would die. Our bodies will break itself down to maintain this blood level of pH, because otherwise it's fatal. A small shift in either direction would have dire consequences. So, secretion of an acid or alkaline urine by the kidneys is the mechanism that helps the body to maintain a constant pH. Now, on the other hand, urine pH, and a lot of people are using these urine strips, yes, they're affected by diet. So again, if you're having a green smoothie or something like that, you're going to have a more alkaline urine for the next few hours, but then it's kind of going to come back to the middle. And it's a little more broad than our blood pH. Remember, our blood is a strict 7.4-ish, but the range for urine pH is generally between 4.5 and 8. And urine pH, that is extremely on the high end or the low end of the pH scale, is actually a risk for kidney stones. Now, Tom Brady's diet, 80% vegetables, whole grains. Now, there are certain grains that are not alkalinizing at all. They are acidifying. Gluten, such as wheat, barley. Corn, these are not alkalinizing grains. These are acidifying. Rolled oats, rye, white flour, rice cakes. And as far as dairy, cow cheese, goat cheese, processed cheese, sheep cheese, pasteurized milk can be acidifying. However, the alkalinizing proteins, and let me go to dairy first, whey protein, yogurt, these are actually alkalinizing. Other proteins that are alkalinizing, eggs, chicken breast, tofu, and nuts like almonds, chestnuts, other millet, although I don't recommend millet for anybody with a low thyroid, because millet, along with soy, are the two top goitrogens. Other acidifying foods, beans and legumes, black beans, chickpeas, green peas, kidney beans, lentils, soybeans, white beans. Interesting. And animal protein. The leaner the animal protein, and Tom Brady eats lean protein, the more acidifying it will be, because fats tend to generally be neutral, not as acidic or alkalinizing. So here's really the overview on Tom Brady's diet. I say do what works. I think the removal of nightshades, if he has a family history, possibly, of arthritis or autoimmunity, it's probably a great idea. Other people avoid nightshades because they truly believe that they will be healthier and live longer. I don't have a problem with that. The only time I have a problem is when people get so restrictive that they back themselves into a corner. I'm not suggesting that this is what Tom Brady or his family is doing at all. Not at all. It looks like a very, very healthful diet. And I think as long as it's what works for him, and his biochemistries are great, and his energy is great, and his health is wonderful, all the more power to him. So I want to thank you for your questions. And reminder, send your questions and comments to radioprogram@AOL.com. I hope you're staying warm this February. And thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.